Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this is the final week of the 5 weeks that we have in what's called the Bread of Life scripture passages. And we have, as of this morning, covered all of chapter 6 in the Gospel of John. And this set of reading only comes along every 3 years. So you're not going to hear these again for another 3 years. So what we did over the past 5 weeks is we did a sermon series that started with, Are You Hungry? I don't know if you remember, but I said, you asked me that question, and the answer is going to be, I'm always hungry. I'm always hungry. So the first thing we talked about back in July was A-Y-C-E. You remember what that was? All you can eat. Jesus is the A-C-E, the ace of aces, the complete meal, all you could possibly ever want to eat, fills us up spiritually, the bread and the wine. There is no food that can possibly be greater than that. And then we talked the following week about the open bar. And we talked about how when we maybe are invited to a banquet or to a wedding, we're not quite sure if the bar, right, the drink, the place where you get your beverages, is going to be open or cash, not closed. We usually don't have a closed bar, right? Usually you can get something to drink wherever you're going. But whether or not it's open, and if it's open, who is the one who is responsible for paying? Well, if it's open, we know it's the host. If it's cash, we know it's us. So we talk about Jesus inviting us to the table where the drink, the food and drink, is an open bar. It's available to everyone, and it is a free gift. And then the week after that, we talked about out of this world, how when you taste a meal that you just are like, if it's a meal that makes your mouth water and all of your senses just come alive and you just say, oh my gosh, this meal is out of this world. And then you want who's ever with you maybe to try it. Or maybe not. Maybe you want to hold it to yourself. But for the most part, when it's really, really, really good, we want to share it. And we want to tell people. And we know that because we see all the time people are always sharing the restaurants they're going to, right? Where the food is just like out of this world. And so that's what we talk about. We talk about Jesus as the bread of life, the bread that's out of this world that we want everybody to know about and for everybody to have some of. And then last week, we talked about please pass the manna. And you'll remember the tofu turkey from Marie Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond, where, you know, when something new is introduced, like Marie wanted to introduce something healthy for Thanksgiving, she was going to do a total healthy meal, and she introduced the tofu turkey to her family, they were like, no. We want the turkey. I think what Ray Barone said, you know, the bird stuff, the bird meat that gets all molded together like God, like it says in the Bible you're supposed to have on Thanksgiving, is what he said. And so we talked about how hard, when we're used to things being one way, it is to hear something so different. And that's exactly how hard it was for the disciples to hear what Jesus was saying. They were saying, no, we want the manna. We want the food that you gave our ancestors. We want the quail that God gave. We want the water that God gave when Moses struck the rock. That's what we want. We don't know what you're talking about right now when you're asking us to feast on your flesh. We have no idea what that is. They were unable to see that God was doing something new. We hear some more of that today. Actually, it was so difficult that many turned away. It was just too much for them to bear. And today, we talk about e-meals. E-meals. Any idea what e-meals might be? We see e everywhere, don't we? E this, or I, internet, or electronic. Well, not talking about electronic, talking about something different. Sometimes, I don't know if you feel like this, but sometimes it feels like there's an energy crisis that's going on. Now, I'm not talking about the energy crisis of the 70s, for those of us who may have lived through that. And I was just a newly licensed driver. And so the way I was able to get my parents' car was to say, I'll go wait on the gas line. I'll go wait. No problem at all. But no, this is a different type of an energy crisis. It's the energy crisis sometimes of our bodies, right? Where we're like, we're doing so much. So much more is expected of us. And we're just sort of like racing through life. And so we feel like there's an energy crisis that's going on in our bodies. And the marketers have picked up on that. Because all of a sudden now, there's e-food. There's energy food. There's energy bars, right? Power Bar was the first energy bar probably to come out. And that was for athletes who were so drained after they worked out that they would eat a Power Bar. Or they might eat the Power Bar in between. And it was totally tasteless. I mean, it was like eating cardboard. And then some of us would try it and say, well, it's supposed to be good for you, right? And you're like, how can they eat this? Right? Then all of a sudden, the better tasting energy bars came out, like Clif Bar. And then there was bars just that were made for women, like Luna. And there's one that I eat every now and then. I think it's called Build or something. I don't even know what it is. But it came out in wonderful flavors, right? So there's macadamia nut and there's carrot cake and all these wonderful things to market to all of us. Our e-bars, our energy bars. But it doesn't stop there. Then it invaded our smoothies, right? If you go to, what is it, tropical smoothie there? You know you can get an added boost of energy added to your tropical smoothie. Yeah, you can get an e-booster, an energy boost. And now how about the energy drinks that have come out? Now my energy drink of choice is absolutely coffee. I will drink coffee all day long. But then you've got your energy drinks. So you've got your Monster, your Red Bull, your 5-hour energy. What happens after 5 hours is what I want to know. What happens after the 5-hour energy? But then I was looking, and there's something that's new out on the market, and it's called Eternal Energy, the Eternal Energy Drink. They sell that at Walmart, 88 cents. It's a bottle about that big. That big. And what does it say? It will wake you up. You're going to feel great and you're going to live healthy. Mm-hmm. Eternal energy. And then I flipped over the bottle. It says it works twice as long as that other energy drink. I'm like, twice as long? Well, if the other one is 5 hours, then this one is 10 hours. And sure enough, that's what it says, 10 hours. And I said, eternal? 10 hours? I don't know about you, but that's not my definition of eternal. I mean, what does eternal mean? I know what it feels like sometimes, you know, when you have to call customer service and you call the number and you get into that ending loop of press this, press that, enter this account number, right? It feels like it's eternal. You're never going to get out of it. And then when you finally get to a person on the other end, oh no, it's not a person, is it? Or you hear this, hold one moment, please. And then the music comes on, right? And now you know this is going to be eternal. So we have an idea of what eternal feels like. Constant, never ending, everlasting, deathless, enduring, timeless. Does that feel sometimes? Do you ever feel that way? Something? And we usually associate that with something negative, don't we? When we say eternal. Peter uses the word today, eternal. Jesus is preaching in the synagogue, and he is preaching about who he is. And he says, I am the bread of life. Feast on me. Because when you are in me, I am in God, and through the Holy Spirit, we are one together. And now in John's gospel, the disciples are not named like the other three. Never are there 12 names given. So it's just like everyone is following Jesus. But at this point, there's a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of followers that say, I'm sorry. I can't. That's just too difficult for me to understand. That is so radically new. Because they understood God as the God of the Old Testament. They didn't see, they didn't hear, they didn't comprehend that right before them was God incarnate, God doing something new for God's people. And so they just said, we can't. We just can't do it. And they stopped following and they left. And then Jesus turned and now he says to the 12, this is the first time he names them, 12 are remaining, and says, are you going to leave also? And what does Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Eternal life. When we think of those words, eternal life, we tend to think, when we think of Christ and eternal life, of the life after this life, don't we? When we think of eternity, we think of a place, we think of a time beyond our living here. But that's not what John means in this gospel. What John is talking about when Peter proclaims, you have the words of eternal life, it means an experience. It's a life that's lived in the experience of Christ here and now. A life lived that experiences God through Jesus Christ now and not just in the future. It's about trusting, walking with, following, and remaining in Christ. Think about that for a second. We thought of eternal when it came to that telephone call that we make, then we know what that feeling feels like, right? You're put on hold forever. Think of the feeling now in Christ, in thinking about an experience in Christ, and listen to these words, constant, never ending, today, everlasting, deathless, enduring, timeless, experiencing Jesus in your life on this very day, tethered to Christ today. It's an experience and a relationship with Christ today that is never ending. To experience Jesus Christ is to consume Christ in every way that you could possibly think of, for it to be an all-consuming experience, including the taking of the body and the blood, the bread and wine in which the promise is held. Jesus is the eternal energy food. Not eternal of what lasts 10 minutes. Not eternal of what lasts an hour and 15 while we're here together. Not eternal that lasts maybe 10 or 15 minutes as you pray. No, eternal meaning now, with, forever. Never ending, never stopping. That's eternal. Well, for some of Jesus' followers, that was just too hard for them to swallow. Pun intended. Because they could not comprehend that Jesus was the Savior, was the Messiah standing before them. But for others, like you and I, there is no other way. Because as the disciples followed Jesus and heard Jesus, they came to know and they came to believe. Not to know Jesus on a personal level. Yes, that's very important. But to truly know, not up here, but in here, to experience the love of Christ, to see Christ's love of all people, to see Christ healing, to see Christ feeding, to see Christ touching that which is untouchable. Eternal life is about a relationship today. Because in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we too die to our earthly selves, and we rise in Christ. And the bread and the wine that we receive, that is the gift of grace, the gift of the promise that is poured out in Christ, that you receive. And when you hear the words, the body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sin, given for you so that you are reconciled with God, given for you so that you will have eternal life today. That's our eternal energy meal. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Amen.